lines are open at 888-463-6748. That's 888. Go for it. You know, I watch the news this weekend, I do in preparation for the show, and I don't really actually take, something that's 8 or 10 days old unless it really stands out and talk about it. News changes, things, work themselves out. Something that was news on Monday may not be news on Tuesday or you can't really, and I hate to say this, but it's difficult to actually trust the newscast. So I like to wait a few days to make sure things pan out as they were depicted in the news. But strange thing enough, last Friday, our president said that the private sectors, and I'm quoting here, the private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weakness in our economy has to do with state and local government. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the private sector is doing fine. Listen, the private sector is scared to death. Small businessmen have no idea what new government regulations are going to do to their businesses. They don't even know if they're going to still be in business. Many of them have laid off employees that were doing necessary tasks simply because they cannot afford the restrictions and the regulations that government is impounding upon them, and they certainly are not going to hire again for the same reasons. Now, larger investors are scared out of their mind to put their money in the market for the same reason. They don't know if the government is going to take it away, overregulate them. They've already done huge amounts of damage in Dodd-Frank and other bills like this that have made investments in the public market a very, very risky thing to do. Now, President Obama is wrong when he claims that state and local governments are doing poorly relative to the private sector. That's just not the truth. As a matter of fact, the only group of workers doing just fine, I'm going to quote Fox News on this, the only group of workers doing just fine is the federal government employees, where employment has increased by 4% since the start of the recession. Now, in sharp contrast to this, again, according to Fox News, both the private and state and local government employees employment have fallen, with the private sector in the worst shape. The private sector employment is down by 4%, and state and local governments are down by half that, by 2%. And that's between the years 2007 and 2010. Now, annual wages also grew 40% faster for state and local governments than for those worked in the private sector. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. The only jobs, now, the Obama administration claims to have created 4.3 million jobs, and they have. But there's two caveats to that. Caveat number one, these jobs are federal jobs. They do not add to the economy. Other than the fact that these people go out and they spend their paychecks and so forth, these jobs as a whole do not add to the economy. As a matter of fact, they detract from the economy. We have to pay for those jobs. They're not getting paid necessarily for producing a better widget or selling a better car, whatever. They're getting paid to sit in an office and do something, and they're getting paid by the American taxpayer. So they are not adding to the economy. Now, again, I'm not going to lambash people who work in the federal government. We need federal workers. But to claim that this has helped the economy is ludicrous. Number two, most of those 4.3 million jobs are prospective jobs, jobs that do not as of yet exist. For example, jobs that are to be created as a result of the Affordable Health Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Now, the private sector is scared, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, let's talk about why they're scared. I'm going to quote here U.S. News and World Report. And it says, the Federal Reserve's latest survey of consumer finances said that U.S. families' median net worth fell by 38.8% from 2007 to 2010. Now, it went from about $126,400 to $77,300. Now, the Fed report says that the levels are near where they were in a 1992 survey. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, in the last 4 years, we have gone back in our economy 2 decades. Now, why is this? Now, the number one reason, and we can all understand this, that the number one reason is the housing crisis. Now, that was not unforeseeable. We've already discussed that the housing crisis was created by the fat cats on Wall Street making fake money with new paper. And then when they received aid from the federal government to make this paper good, they didn't make the paper good. They didn't help the mortgage holders. They helped the stockholders. The mortgage holders are still in foreclosures. So that paper is still no good. And so now the median price for a house has dropped 14.7% in the good markets. Now, the average net worth is much higher than the median. Now, the average net worth is about $498,000. And that's pulled upward from the higher net worth. Now, people say, well, you know, the rich people are getting richer. No, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the actual numbers, the percentages of who's been hurt, those who put their money at risk to create jobs have been hurt more than those who go to work at those jobs. Now, that makes sense. If you've got more money to invest, if you have more assets, and all of a sudden those assets are cut in half, a man who owes a $400,000 house is now worth $200,000, has lost more net worth than someone who had a $100,000 house, that's now worth $50,000. So the idea that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer is actually not the case. Everybody's getting poorer. And as a matter of fact, the rich are getting poorer at a very much accelerated state than those in the median and low income levels. Now people say, well, they got money. They can figure it out. You know, life's tough. No, that's not the key. The key is that we are breaking the backs of the job creators. The government cannot create job with another stimulus, and that's Mr. Obama's plan. Let's give another stimulus. Well, what happened to the last few stimuluses? They did not go to the people who needed them most. They went to the administrators, or the administrators who are supposed to protect those people who didn't, who threw $800,000 parties in Las Vegas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how in the world can it be that making the rich people poorer is going to put me to work? I've repeated several times on this show that I have never been offered a job by a poor man. Neither have you. It takes small business, and most of the companies that actually create jobs are companies with less than 30 employees. And if we restrict their ability to hire, then how is the economy going to improve? Now, so what is Obama's evidence that the private sector is doing fine? Now, again, we talked about the 4.3 million jobs that have been created over the last 27 months since February 2010, but if Obama ignores... President Obama ignores how private sector job creation during the recovery compares to past times. Now, the total actual number of private sector jobs has grown by 2.8% during the recovery. However, the average recovery since 1970 was between 8 and 10% after similar severe recessions. So this is anemic, ladies and gentlemen. It simply is not doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. We are growing a little bit, but it is anemic, and it is not enough to support people. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you that I know I have a lot of friends who are scared to death where their mortgage is going to come. Now, these are people mostly who have paid their debts faithfully for a number of years, and now they don't know if they're going to be able to feed their families and keep their homes. And these are not people who went out and got on the ledge and got a ridiculously high-priced house at a ridiculously low mortgage and then were caught unawares. These are people who actually had good-paying jobs who have either lost them or had them cut and now are afraid that they're not even going to be able to afford gasoline to go look for another job, even if that job is out there. And it's probably not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this battle is over cash money. Now, you can do all the political pandering you want one way or another, but the truth of the matter is that the next election is going to be a battle over money. And the excuse is, well, gee, you know, George Bush started the recession. Well, he didn't start it, but it did begin during his tenure. But there comes a point in time where you have to stop blaming the other guy. Now, Mr. Obama said hope and change. That was his big mantra during the 2008 election. Hope and change. Well, ladies and gentlemen, where is the hope and change? The only change we have seen is in a downward spiral, in an anemic spiral. And if he's not careful, I promise you that the elections are going to show that many of the independent voters are finding hope in the Romney camp. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as far as elections are concerned, there's always going to be the Republican base that are going to vote for a Republican regardless of who he is, and the same on the Democratic side. But many of those in the middle, most voters are in the middle, are independents, and they are directly responsible for swinging an election one way or another because they are not tied to a political party. And ladies and gentlemen, the only thing they can hope for now is change. I promise you, the only thing possible that they can do is hope that our next government, elected official to president, will change the way things are happening now. Now, I'm not going to be a pundit for Mr. Romney particularly, but ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Romney, when you look at his record, has done a remarkable job. He really has. Now, whether or not this will make him a good president, nobody knows for sure. But he has done a remarkable job if you look at his record and stop listening to the pundits. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was a gentleman who was elected in a heavily Democratic state, and it's a miracle he was elected at all. And everybody says, well, he's responsible for Romney Care and so forth. Well, yeah, he actually is. But if you look at the record, the Massachusetts people wanted Romney Care. They wanted a health care act for their state. And for that state, it worked out very well. And they still want it. If you poll them right now, they're happy for it. Now, let's put aside all the financial ramifications of that. Now, they may want it, and I'll tell you what, the reason they want it is because the people in Massachusetts and the people in California lead very, very different lives. The people in Minnesota versus the people in Texas, again, very different lives. Now, as Romney Care may have been a good idea for Massachusetts, it does not mean that it can be applied to California. And the forefathers knew this. This is the whole purpose behind the 10th Amendment. They knew from the 150 years before the Revolution, they had seen that in 13 different areas, 13 separate cultures had grown and developed, and they knew that you could not apply one federal statute to all of them because the cultures are very different. Yet this is what the federal government is trying to do. They're trying to stick all of one particular culture, one particular ideal, to all of us. The 10th Amendment says that anything we didn't cover so far is a purview of the states. Now, we've discussed this before, ladies and gentlemen. The states are 50 different laboratories with 50 different ideas. Now, despite the federal government's insistence to the contrary, the governments in these states work. By and large, they are responsible to their people. And as their people dictate what laws are passed in those particular states. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, this is a battle over money, and some states are, and things are hit worse than others. But I want to give you a little glimmer of hope. Look at what happened to Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin. Now, again, he fought against a national organization. I should say plague of public unions that are holding governments hostage. He stood up and he changed this. He signed a law that makes it far more difficult for state workers to increase their compensation at the expense of the taxpayers. And he limited their ability to acquire money and security while holding people hostage and living at a much, much higher standard than the others. Now, he came under recall. And again, that's to me, that was unheard of, because I can understand somebody being recalled because they were incompetent or recalled because they had been corrupt or done something to that effect. But simply recalling a governor because you don't like his policies is unheard of. You elected him, live with him. If you don't like it, vote him out next time. But here's what happened. They tried to recall this man who actually took a step forward in the face of adversity, and he won by a larger motion, by a larger percentage, than he was elected by to start with. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We'll be back right after this.